Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2539, with a release date of Friday, June 26th, 2026. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. NASA faces a huge antenna repair bill. South Korea marks a quarter century of fox hunting championships. And in breaking news, an earthquake rocks Venezuela. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2539 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG.
As Newsline went to production, a state of emergency was declared in Venezuela following a pair of closely spaced earthquakes measuring a magnitude of 7.2 and 7.5. Injuries and deaths were reported across the South American nation, where amateur radio operators began receiving reports via Domingo L. Hernandez Lima, YV5IZE of the Venezuelan Radio Club, that the capital city of Caracas was among those areas that had lost power. Using batteries, hams were already activated voice and digital emergency nets on HF. A global call went out for amateurs to keep the frequency at 7.135 megahertz clear. Emergency communication coordinators for hams in Cuba, Colombia, Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, and others in the region were asked to remain on standby. Newsline will be following the story as it unfolds. We turn next to NASA, which is facing antenna troubles, which, as many of us know, are not only a bother, but can be downright costly in certain cases. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us about the particularly high cost of a set of antenna woes facing one NASA deep space station right now.
The U.S. space agency NASA is facing a repair bill of between $4.1 and $4.6 million for Deep Space Station 14, its 70-meter RF antenna near Barstow, California, all because of what it has found to be inadequate procedures and inadequate training of workers. A report recently released by the agency said that its investigation found a number of primary causes, including human error, weaknesses in software, and an undetected failure in the antenna's hydraulic limit system, which is its final mechanical safeguard. The incident that took the antenna out of service occurred last September, as it was tracking the Juno mission for deep space exploration focused on Jupiter. The antenna over-rotated, adding stress to structural supports and cables, and damaging water lines feeding the antenna's fire suppression system. An article on NASA's website states that the investigators concluded that operators felt compelled by workplace culture to work as quickly and efficiently as possible, quote, often stretching beyond their usual roles, expertise, and training to keep the antenna operating, end quote. NASA considers these findings to be its final report. The antenna, a key part of the deep space network, is expected to be out of service until October of 2028. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
As Newsline went to production, hams were arriving at Messe Friedrichshafen to attend Europe's top amateur radio event, and in North America, hams in Canada and the U.S. were getting on the air for field day. In Huntsville, Alabama, registration is already underway for the Huntsville Ham Fest, which opens on the 22nd of August. It's going to be another busy season, but not before one more event, which begins on July 1st at 1300 UTC, the annual 13 Colonies special event, which is celebrating America's 250th birthday. It concludes on July 8th at 0400 UTC. Now in its 18th year of operation, the event is featuring downloadable certificates for the first time. As always, stations will represent the 13 original colonies, and there will be bonus contacts with GB13COL, TM13COL, and WM3PEN. This year's event is dedicated to Ken Vallone, KU2US, the founder of the 13 Colonies event, who became a silent key last year. Visit 13colonies.us for more details. Be sure to use numerals 1 and 3 for 13. The trio of satellites are called FireSats, and they are set to launch this summer with a special mission, as we hear from Daniel Garcia, W2DIY.
This summer, three new satellites are expected to be launched to serve as the equivalent of fire towers in the sky. Three FireSat satellites are being readied by the nonprofit Earth Fire Alliance and its wildlife detection program, which is satellite-based. The three Firesats have received support from a $26 million grant from the Bezos Earth Fund. The initiative also has the support of Google. The Firesats are expected to monitor for wildfires in critical and sensitive areas at least twice a day, with a special emphasis on the Amazon basin, which is known to be particularly vulnerable. The Earth Fire Alliance released a statement saying that it hopes to have more satellites in place to assist with such monitoring so that every point on the planet will be seen every 20 minutes. This is Daniel Garcia, W2DIY.
Funding from the YASME Foundation is helping restore an important reverse beacon node, and Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has the details.
The reverse beacon node serving Mauritius is undergoing necessary repairs with the help of a grant announced by the YASME Foundation. The Worldwide Foundation's Board of Directors approved a grant in February, but was only recently announced. The funds are being given to Ashwin Mandari, 3B8GL, who will repair his node of the RBN. The move was praised by the Mauritius Amateur Radio Society, whose active hams rely on the network. An RBN station monitors signal propagation, listening specifically for CW and digital modes. Ashwin is treasurer of the Mauritius Amateur Radio Society. In a separate move, the YASME Foundation is also providing a grant to the Korean Amateur Radio League to support its involvement in the activities of the Youth on the Air program. The program is well respected by young amateurs in South Korea, who used the call sign HL0YOTA during the December 2025 YOTA month event. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In Korea, the national championship for fox hunting has just finished its 25th year, and it's popular as ever, as we hear from John Williams, VK4JJW.
Amateur radio direction finding, or fox hunting, is a big priority among hams in South Korea, where the 19th Direction Finding World Championships were held in 2018, hosted by the Korean Amateur Radio League. That was the same year a commemorative postage stamp was issued by the Korea Post Office. This organized pursuit of hidden transmitters continues in Korea as its national championship recently marked its first quarter century as a formal event. The 25th Korean Amateur Radio Direction Finding National Championship was held in Wonju on the 13th of June. Navigating fields and forests with the help of maps, compasses and radio receivers, hams worked as both teams and individuals, with sections created by gender and age. Korea's Central Radio Management Service, the agency that oversees radio spectrum and amateur radio, looks favorably upon the development of direction finding techniques to sharpen communication technology skills useful in emergency response situations. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the UK, the Intruder Watch team is looking for volunteers who can monitor the amateur bands for harmful interference. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us how to get involved.
Although the International Amateur Radio Union says that its Intruder Watch service is not the band police, it places a big emphasis on the difference that volunteer monitors can make, keeping the amateur bands free from harmful interference. Watch service participants identify unauthorized transmissions and report them to their relevant national coordinator. In the UK, the Intruder Watch team of the Radio Society of Great Britain is looking for more volunteers. It plays an important part in finding and disclosing the harmful interference by non-amateur stations. These often include broadcast signals and over-the-horizon radar. The IARU notes on its website that such intrusions appear to be growing rapidly. Ian Stewart, GM4AUP, RSGB coordinator, asks that anyone wanting to learn more or to offer help should contact him at iw@rsgb.org.uk. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WA2EHL repeater in Burlington, New Jersey, on Fridays at 7 p.m. local time. The YOTA Americas Regional Camp in Huntsville, Alabama blasted off on Sunday, June 14th, immediately launching campers into ham radio and space-related adventures. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, tells us more.
35 campers arrived in Huntsville, Alabama from 17 states and 3 countries, the U.S., Mexico, and Argentina. But their focus quickly turned to matters high above the Earth. They enjoyed an Eris contact with astronaut Chris Williams, KJ5GEW, and a surprise visit from Penny Pettigrew, payload communications manager, and others from NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center payload operations team. Closer to planet Earth, campers sent up a balloon to near space, topping out at 93,500 feet as it signaled as W4Y-11 on APRS. The balloon carried a successful biological experiment from Xavier University and a radiation experiment using Polaroid film. Two PICO balloons, W9EAR-12 and KM4ZIA-1, were also launched. In between sharpening their kit-building skills and getting acquainted with how to work D-Expeditions and using the DX clusters, they operated Special Event Station W4Y, visited the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, and the Signals Museum. The week ended with an intercultural evening which brought everyone back down to Earth. Want to sample some of the fun vicariously? Visit the Youth on the Air channel on YouTube. Bring your own refreshments. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Let's face it, sporting events of all kinds are the most fun when fans and supporters can watch as the action unfolds in the moment. The World Radio Sport Team Championship, which begins in UK from the 8th through to the 13th of July, is no different. Now, keeping track during the contest in real time is possible as we hear from Dave Lee, M9TLB.
A live scoreboard created by World Radio League in collaboration with WRTC 2026 will make its debut at the competition next month, allowing thousands of viewers to follow the action as it happens. The platform will feature integrated spotting and will offer updated live rankings, a leaderboard, pages for each team, and a list of top countries and top contacts. Chasers will be able to track how many QSOs they've had with the teams on individual bands and in what modes. The platform is still a work in progress, subject to refinement. Viewers can get a look at what's planned by visiting the YouTube channel for Q5 Worldwide Ham Radio, which is hosting a demonstration by James Cribbs, N0WRL, CEO and founder of World Radio League. See the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Meanwhile, the WRTC 2026 committee has approved the operation of 6 remote operating positions at the competition's headquarters in Wyboston, UK. All the remote stations are considered world-class contest stations. Their call signs are ZW5B in Brazil, 7Q6M in Malawi, VK6SJ in Australia, ZF5T in the Cayman Islands, and 2 US stations, K6RO in Maine and KH7M in Hawaii. Individual operators who would like to sign up can visit the link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast. This is Dave Lee, M9TLB.
In the world of DX, a 3-member team of hams will be using the call sign PQ1I from Espírito Santo State, Brazil, IOTA Group SA067 on the 24th through the 26th of July. Their main activity will occur during the RSGP IOTA contest. Listen for them using CW sideband and FT8 FT4 on 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. The hams are Renato PY8WW, Renner PY7RP, and Alex PY1DX. Red DL1BUG will be using the call sign TY5FR from Benin from the 7th of July through to the 4th of August. He will be on 160 through 10 meters, where he will be operating CW and sideband. July will be off to a busy start for members of the Russian Robinson Club, who will spend the 4th through to the 9th of July operating as RI1ZR from 4 or more islands off the coast of the Murmansk region. The team will be using CW sideband and possibly digital modes on 40 through 10 meters. Pierre VE3KTB is back on the air with the call sign VY0ERC from the Eureka Amateur Radio Club station on Ellesmere Island, IOTA number NA008, through to the 22nd of July. Listen for him on the HF bands operating CW, sideband, and FT8. Listen for the call sign CS5AIRA, which will be active from the Barra Lighthouse in Portugal on July 18th from 0900 UTC to 1700 UTC. Hams will be calling CQ on 20 and 40 meters as well as VHF and UHF frequencies. There will be activity as well via Echolink, Lusophona, the QO100 satellite, and DMR via Brandmeister Talk Groups 268 and 91. For other operating details or QSL information, visit the QRZ.com pages for each of these stations. Now they're older, wiser, and soon on the air, as we hear from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The push for youngsters' involvement, education, and adventure in amateur radio seems everywhere, from courses in STEM to intensive camps that promise a bit of work and a bit of play. Now into the mix comes the Wireless Institute of Australia, which has released a new publicity brochure that focuses on bringing new hams into the hobby. These are prospective hams who are a little bit, well, okay, maybe a whole lot more than a little bit, older. In other words, this is recruitment for the grown-ups, the parents whose kids have moved out and moved away. It's for the retirees who want a challenge but not another job. It's for anyone who's come of age at a time when it's exciting to discover the ever-increasing options that come with having an amateur radio license. It might even be for grandmothers and grandfathers who want to operate portable with their ham radio operator grandkids. The brochure, unveiled at the recent WIA Annual General Meeting in Albury, Australia, targets them all. Those non-amateurs who may want to consider becoming older and wiser in the ways of radio science. It's something we can all grow into. For details, or if you wish copies of the brochure to distribute at club meetings, contact the Administrative Office of the Wireless Institute of Australia. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News, ARRL, Asia Business Daily, Axios, David BR, K7DB, EHAM.com, 425DX News, IARU, Mauritius Amateur Radio Society, NASA.gov, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space News, Wireless Institute of Australia, World Radio Sport Team Championship, Yasmi Foundation, Youth on the Air Americas, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.